Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. I hope you guys are having a great time. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you so much for checking out the channel. All I ask is after watching and or listening to the video, if you find you enjoyed it or you learned something, do me a favor, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, without further ado, let's jump into the weeds. Well, hello there. How y'all doing? I hope everything is fantastic where you are. If you saw my video yesterday on the Madeline Soto case, you may recall that I said I didn't think Stephen Stearns staged the flat tire out on Highway 192 and Old Hickory Road. If you've been following the case, you likely know that Stearns' silver 2010 Lincoln MKZ sedan was spotted between 1 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. on the day that Madeline disappeared. It was 22 miles away from where Madeline lived, and it looked like the driver was changing a flat tire. Days later, Madeline's body would be found across the street from where the Lincoln was parked.
Please share this crime line bulletin on my right of Stephen Stearns. He was last seen driving a silver 2010 Lincoln MKZ. The Florida tag is IYLL82. On Monday, February 26, between 1 and 2:30 p.m. in the area of State Road 192 and Old Hickory Tree Road, as well as Old Hickory Tree Road and Nolte Road. During this time frame, it is believed that Stearns had a flat tire and might have been seen changing the tire in this area. If anyone saw this vehicle or noticed anything suspicious, we're asking that they call Crime Line.
I'm now wondering if Stearns did stage the flat tire as an excuse for parking his car on the side of the road at that time. Was Stearns trying to divert attention from the primary task of dumping a lifeless Madeline Soto out in a line of trees? As in, hey everybody, look over here, I've got a flat tire. Don't look over there where someone's messing around with something in the tree line. The owner of the land on which Maddie was left said that a gate near the dump site was left open on the day Madeline disappeared. The place where Stearns supposedly changed the tire was right across the street from that dump site. So now I feel like it's definitely a possibility that Stearns could have staged the flat tire to have a good excuse for being parked on that flat rural road for a period of time. Cars do go by there from time to time, so it's not a deserted place. If Stearns is the person who placed Maddie out there, I do think he must have been in a hurry to rid himself of that damning cargo. There had to have been better places to stash a body. The trees at the dump site really don't constitute a woods. It's more like just a tree line. I think Stearns was working on borrowed time that day. He couldn't just disappear for hours and hours. He likely needed to get back home so as not to look like he went on a long journey at the same time that Maddie went missing in action. Could Jen Soto have been with Stephen Stearns out there on Highway 192 and Old Hickory Road? I'm speculating. It's just as possible that Jen Soto was home sleeping while all this was going on. I'm trying to understand if it's possible that a mother could really be unaware that her on-again, off-again boyfriend, who sometimes lives with her and her young daughter, was SAing the child for years while I stumbled upon a similar case out of Idaho. So in this other case, a man named Chris Hamburg SAed his girlfriend's young daughter for decades. And get this, he ultimately impregnated the young girl twice, once when she was just 11 and another time when she was 13. The SA began in the 1990s when Hamburg began dating the girl's mother in Washington State. Hamburg started essaying the woman's daughter after he moved into their home. The daughter was just 8 or 9 years old when this all started, and the essay lasted, as I said earlier, for decades. At this point, Chris Hamburg moved the girl and her mother from Washington to Idaho in order to avoid Child Protective Services. But even though the daughter had given birth, the essay continued, and this girl fell pregnant again at age 13. Both times, the girl gave birth to baby boys. Now, according to the girl, who's now a woman, her mother never put two and two together. The victim said her mother was unaware of what was happening, and because they knew a lot of relatives who had had children at ages 13, 14, and 15, it didn't strike the mother as all that odd. The girl didn't reveal the truth about who the father was until years later. Per the victim, when it was time for her to give birth, Hamburg would disappear. I bet he did. He didn't want to get busted. He'd only show back up once the baby was born. For this victim, the abuser began controlling her every move. He told her to lie about who fathered her kids, and it wasn't long before the girl was prevented from talking to or socializing with kids her own age. She and her mother weren't even allowed to talk to the neighbors. Girls said they were basically held captive inside the house. So the years go by, and one day the victim's son, who was then 14, asked for a computer. This is when the victim decided to go online, and she began communicating about her life. She even met her future husband, and he helped her reconnect with family members who had been iced out by Chris Hamburg. At some point, the victim met an online confidant who, by coincidence, had been a victim of road rage at the hands of the victim's abuser. The road rage victim was also the daughter of a U.S. attorney. This story is like a Lifetime movie. The road rage lady convinced the SA victim to have her kid's DNA tested, and a warrant was eventually issued for Chris Hamburg's DNA. A paternity test confirmed that he had fathered the victim's two sons. The ages of the boys confirmed that the girl had been a minor when she became pregnant by Hamburg. The FBI then tracked Hamburg down at a ramshackle motel in Montana. Eventually, he was convicted, so now he must register as an SO, and he's serving a 20-year sentence in prison. Personally, I think they should have removed some of his body parts, if you know what I mean. He should be in his 80s by the time he's released. This guy's crimes were more than 20 years before his conviction, but something called the Protect Act, which was passed in 2003, removed the statute of limitations for crimes involving the SA of a child. Before this act was passed, the statute of limitations expired when a victim turned 25. In Hamburg's case, the victim didn't report the crimes until 2021, well after she turned 25. Thank God for that law. Hamburg's victim was able to confront him in court. She told him, quote, "You stole every bit of peace and contentment from my childhood, from my entire life. My struggles continue daily," end quote. I think that if Madeline had lived, she likely would have wanted to tell Stephen Stearns the exact same thing. Maybe she did tell him on that Sunday night when she celebrated her very special 13th birthday. Who knows? Something triggered Madeline's death, and I suspect it might have been her finding her voice. Chris Hamburg's victim wanted to remain anonymous, but I would imagine she knows about Madeline's case, and I really wish we could talk to her to find out more about how this creep Hamburg managed to keep her silent, what he said to her when she was just 8 years old, what she thought about it at that age. A lot of people are wondering now, where was Madeline's biological father? How involved was he in his little girl's life? You'd think her bio dad would have been someone she could have confided in. He certainly looks on a surface level in photos like a loving adult. I wonder how her birth father felt about his young daughter living in a home with another male grown-up. I would think that most loving adult fathers would have some concern when their young daughter is living with another man, a man they may not know very well. Maddie's father is Tyler Wallace, and Maddie was born on February 22nd of 2011. Tyler married another woman, a lady named Tatiana, in April of that same year, 2011, so just a couple of months after Maddie was born. It's odd that Tyler married so soon after his daughter's birth. It's also sad because Maddie never had a chance to live full-time with her dad, and then years later, Stephen Stearns showed up in her life, and he clearly was not a man who looked at Maddie in a loving, paternal manner. If he had, he would not have destroyed her innocence and taken her life, allegedly. He still hasn't been charged with murder. I would say that Jen Soto, instead of calling Stephen Stearns Maddie's stepfather, should have called him her groomer. And I don't mean that he did her hair or her makeup. That would have been more apropos. And I wonder if Maddie ever felt rejected by her bio dad. When a father doesn't marry the mother of his child, it can make the child feel less than, perhaps not worthy. I think Stephen Stearns saw this hole in Maddie's heart and used it as a way to weasel in there and also into her bedroom. Guys like Stearns look for vulnerable kids like Maddie, and perhaps their mothers too, who may also feel less than and abandoned. That does not mean that it's Tyler's fault, by the way. I'm not blaming Tyler Wallace. Sometimes people create babies before they figure out if they're compatible with one another. It happens, and unfortunately, the child often grows up feeling a sense of inadequacy. And even if the bio dad has a loving relationship with the child, the kid may still wonder why he didn't marry their mom. By the way, I heard a psychologist on another show say that guys like 37-year-old Stephen Stearns don't typically start essaying kids in their 30s. It usually starts much earlier, and there tend to be scores of victims in their wake. They also find jobs that allow them to interact with children. Is that why Stephen Stearns worked for Disney? Let me know what you think in the comments. Until the next time on Bed Crime Stories.